May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 232. Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. 232.
Thank you. let us read together from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Almighty and eternal Lord God in heaven, we gather before thee this evening hour as a poor group of needy sinners. Lord, how we need thy help this evening. Lord, come and be one in our midst. For Lord, we meet in vain if thou art not here. Lord, it is of no use of gathering together unless thou art with us. We humbly pray that thou wilt condescend to come in our midst and descend from heaven. Send the Holy Spirit, we pray, and Lord, come and fill this place with thy glory and with thy majesty. For Lord, we are great sinners, and we fear we've added more to that great number of our sins since we've met this morning. Lord, we pray for thy mercy. Forgive us our trespasses. Lord, pardon our many, many sins. Wash us in that precious blood. O Lord, how we rejoice to see that precious blood. May it be applied to our hearts to cleanse us from all sin, and may we be found right at last. Lord, we live in solemn days. There is much to distress as we look around at the world in which we live. And we fear we are but a remnant. And Lord, Satan seems ready, standing by. But Lord, do come. Be that wall of fire round about us each. Lord, uphold us and support us. As Satan comes in like a flood, may there be that standard lifted up. That banner lifted up. Lord, do come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us, Lord. We mourn over our poor returns, how cold our hearts are, as we look at this cold weather around us, and how cold our hearts are, like the frost and the ice. Lord, we pray that thou come and melt our hard hearts, not with fire. Lord, do come with that still small voice of the gospel. Speak words of peace into our hearts. May there be words of comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. Lord, do speak this evening to us, we pray. Oh, how we long to hear thy voice. Oh, Lord, we dread that silence. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou speak something to us. Whether it's rebuke or chastening, correction, a word of exhortation, but be not silent to us, lest if thou be silent to us, we become like unto them that go down into the pit. Lord, thy people cannot be as those. We cannot be those that go down into that pit. But Lord, we can be like them. Lord, we pray that we may not be swallowed up with sin and the world, that the world may be shut out. Lord, we have to mix in the world, many for our occupations and the younger friends for school and work. But Lord, thou didst pray that thy Father would not take us out of the world, but that we would not be of it. Lord, may that be the case. May we be a witness to this world in which we live. May we be lights shining in a dark place. Lord, we do pray that we may be a witness for thy honour and glory. We do pray for each before thee. Thou knowest the cases of each here this evening. Thou knowest those who would long to be here but cannot be here. And Lord, how solemn thou knowest those that are here that long not to be here. May it not be so with any here. But Lord, we are sinners by nature. We do not value a precious Christ by nature. We cannot enter into these things. Oh, do come and sow that seed in the hearts, Lord, we pray. There may be that good seed springing forth to eternal life. We pray, Lord, for those with burdens. May they lay them at the foot of the cross. May we lay all our cases upon thee, our sins, our troubles, our perplexities. And Lord, do help those who are walking a difficult pathway. May they prove that blessed truth, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And Lord, how there are those here who have entered into that. And Lord, it's when we sink right down, then we prove the strength and the firmness of those everlasting arms. We cannot fall between them. They're ever underneath. Lord, help us to lean on thee. And we pray, Lord, that we may be kept from managing our circumstances ourselves, that we may be given the grace to submit all things to thee. And Lord, that we may choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But Lord, How can a poor sinner make a right choice unless thou hast chosen him first? May we prove to be objects of thy choice from eternity past, and heirs together, joint heirs with Christ. And may there be none attending this chapel left out at last. Lord, how we tremble at that thought. We cannot bear the piercing thought, what if my soul should be left out when thou for them dost call? Lord, we pray that we may be right, we may be ready. And Lord, may it be accomplished. And whatever it takes, Lord, prepare us for that great day. We do pray for the neighbourhood in which this cause of truth is found. Could it please thee, Lord, that there are those of thy people to be brought in to a saving knowledge of thee? Could it please thee, Lord, that there are those who are living in trespasses and in sins, but whose names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life, who must come? O Lord, direct them to this house of prayer, we pray. Do fill this house with praying, seeking, longing souls. Not, Lord, for the honour and glory of man, not for any boasting in self, but, Lord, for thy honour and glory. For it is thy great name that's at stake. And, Lord, it's thy name that's been trampled in our land. And we do pray, Lord, that thou would turn the tide of sin. And may there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit up and down our land, in our churches, our denomination. May there be a revival in our midst. May there be many sinners who are enabled by faith to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. O Lord, we pray that thou'lt rend the heavens and come down. Make bare thy holy arm. And, Lord, overturn wicked desires of men in this land. Those in high places who seek to trample over thy holy law and word. Those who seemingly working out the desires of Satan, Lord, turn them, we pray. The hearts of all men are in thy hand. Nothing can take place here below without thy permissive will. Lord, could it please thee, could it be thy will, that this land and nation may turn to thee, and Lord, that there be a turning to the truth and to the gospel. We pray for thy people where'er they are, those in this land and abroad, that one church. Thou knowest thy people where'er they are. O Lord, do help them in the hour of need. Be with thy servants who stand on the walls of Zion. And Lord, own and bless the labours. Send the Holy Spirit to apply the word. And may it be in power and in much assurance. We do think of those who are in foreign lands suffering persecution for thy great name, even unto death. O Lord, help them, be with them, comfort them and support them. And Lord, do spare us from these outward persecutions, we pray. We thank thee that we can gather round thy word, unmolested from the world, and pray, Lord, that our liberties may ever be spared to us. But, Lord, if persecution should come upon us, hold us, Lord, we pray. For we fear, in that hour of need, left to ourselves, that we may deny thee. O Lord, do come. And be with us, we pray. May we not be ashamed of thee. And Lord, we seek thy face. We pray for those who are unwell, and pray that thou wilt lay thy kind healing hand upon them, and restore them to full health if it could please thee. But Lord, soften every pillow, and do support under every load. And Lord, may we enter into the words of that hymn. And Lord, thy way was much rougher and darker than ours. Lord, we do pray that in our troubles and in our tribulations, that it could please thee to sanctify them to us and show us our lot in the light of eternity. So we pray for thy mercy. Forgive all we ask amiss. Pour in, Lord, and may be able to pour out to thy people. And Lord, may we lose sight of each other. See no man save Jesus only. And Lord, may a precious Christ be lifted up, we pray. Do draw us, we pray, and we will run after thee. We ask all things for that great and worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 758. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted, burdened son. 758. Thank you.
the Lord's help, I'd like to speak to you from Jeremiah chapter 29 and the 11th verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The 29th chapter, book of Jeremiah, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. These words that we have from the Lord this evening for our text are the words of the Lord spoken to each of his dear people. And our desire is that there is one or more of you here this evening seeking to know the Lord's thoughts toward you as you journey here below. How often a child of God is troubled and tempted in their own feelings. They feel in themselves that they believe they may have a little of the love of Christ, but they're so often tempted that it's one-sided. They're so often burdened that they might be mistaken, that their thoughts toward the Lord, they might not be what they think they are, that the pathway that the Lord is leading them in is one that seems to show to them, as viewed in the eyes and wearing the glasses that Satan gives, the pathway that they're walking out seems to demonstrate anything but love from a heavenly Father. It seems to demonstrate anything but the care of a watchful father over one of his dear children. And how often they're left when they're not looking in the right place, when they're left to themselves, why they feel, am I really one of the Lord's? Maybe you've made an open profession of the Lord's name, and you, like I did, thought, well, that was it. You know, you thought, I've been baptized. I've made a profession. My seeking days are over. But friends, how wrong we are if we think you're only a seeker up to the point of being brought into the liberty of the gospel. Why, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of our pathway here below. We have to seek him daily. And as we go on in the way, why doesn't the Lord show us a little more of our unworthiness? Doesn't he show us a little more of ourselves? As daily we seem, looking around at ourselves, we seem to be getting worse. You know, friends, do you feel you've got better as the years have gone on? You know, it's a sad, solemn lot in which we live, that in here, in our hearts, there's still sin. And this sin mixed with all we do, and it burdens the people of God. They can't rest with it. And it drives us to distraction sometimes. You know, you may say, like I did when I was seeking the Lord, Lord, I won't sin like that again. You know, the Lord has shown you clearly your error, and you know, you make a, you make a vow and you say, I won't sin like that. Lord, forgive me. And do you know what happens? Well, if you don't sin like that again, you sin worse. You're entering into what the hymn writer says. The more I strove against its power, I sin and stumbled, but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. And he is, friends. He is the only way. There's only one way. There's only one way that a child of God will reach heaven at last. There's only one way a child of God will walk out their profession and hold fast till the end. There's only one way that they will not make shipwreck of their profession. You know, if it was left to our hands, to put our hands to it, none of us would reach heaven at last. You know, that's solemn, isn't it? You know, we have this pearl of great price. And isn't it John Newton said, you know, we'd throw it overboard. He had that dream, didn't he? And he dreamt that he threw it over, cast it over into the sea. You know, we're not safe. We're not able to keep ourselves. We cannot keep alive our own souls. And what a torment it is to the people of God. And, you know, I say to you this night, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? What does the name of Jesus mean to you? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds to a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. What think ye of Christ? What does he mean to you? Is he your friend? He's the friend of sinners. Do you feel to be a sinner? Are there those of you who have come this evening, you're feeling bogged down with sin, and you can't shift it, you can't do anything with it, and it's dragging you down, and you see eternity before you. And you see a mountain of sin. And what will become? And you know the law of Moses. And one transgression, one unpardoned sin, friends. Just one unpardoned sin. Do you know what that deserves? Do you know what the punishment is? For just one wrong thought. You think of that. Do you know it's everlasting punishment in hell? One wrong thought. I'm not talking about murderers here, or thieves, or rapists. I'm talking about you and I with one wrong thought. Unpardoned. Unpardoned. Why, there's no hope. And it's, friends, we have to be faithful to the word of God. You know, this is not my words. This is the word of God. There is no safety out of Christ. There is no safety for a sinner to shelter. There's no shelter other than underneath the precious blood of Christ. You know, we need an interest in that life. When we're standing before an almighty God, how can we stand before him? He cannot look upon sin. And we're full of it. And I'm full of it. You know, it's solemn. And if I'm to stand before him, with all my sin, why, I'm to perish, aren't I? And so are you, friend, so are you. But what a mercy. What a mercy, friends, that there is hope. You know, the Lord brings his dear people to be helpless. You know, they won't have any help of their own. They won't be able to help themselves. As the Lord works in the heart of his dear people and convinces them of their sin, he leads them, as the hymn writer says, to the precious blood of Christ. And friends, he shows them themselves and their lost, ruined condition. And he shows them that they cannot live the life that's demanded and expected for an entry into everlasting bliss. And he shows them their helplessness. You know, there were those who, of the scribes and Pharisees, who thought that they could put their hand to it. They thought that they could do something. They thought they could make themselves better. And we have religions in our day. The Roman Catholics, they believe they can do something. They will confess to Mary. They will serve penance. But you can't. Do you think serving some penance here below will pardon your sin? You know, your sin is so grave, friend, and my sin. Do you know, my sin is so vile to an almighty God in heaven, and yours, friend, is so vile, that if we're to be found in heaven at last, there's only one thing that will do, and that is to plead that the Son of God came to this earth to suffer and to bleed and to die in your place and in your room and in your stead. You know, your sin and my sin is so vile that I can't give my life for you. I can't give my life for my children. My blood means nothing before an almighty God. Nothing. It's worthless. I can't take my life and offer it as a sin offering. My blood's worthless in comparison to the wretchedness of my sin. You know, this is the vileness of us, that it took the Son of God from heaven, the incarnate Son of God, his only begotten Son. That's the only payment. That precious blood of his dear Son is the only way, is the only offering a sinner can make. And what a mercy, that we have. The Lord, he has thoughts of peace to such sinners as we. Thoughts of peace. He says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. You know, these thoughts of peace he had, but to his dear people, well, they're some of the vilest sinners out of hell. His thoughts to these dear people were before the foundation of the world. And as we mentioned this morning, covenant love, he took that gift and gave it to his Son and said, and they entered into that covenant, and the Son promised the Father and said he would bring them safe to glory at last. And his gift was wrapped up. It wasn't wrapped up in a, like we've just wrapped Christmas presents up. It was exposed to all its filth and all its vileness. And he took it. He didn't walk away from it. He took it. He saw it all. He wasn't misled. It was no small print that he didn't read. He saw what it would cost. He looked at that gift. He saw each of his dear people. And he knew what it meant. What it would mean. What he promised his Father to do. And he knew what it would cost. And we read this evening, John chapter 14, beautiful chapter. Remarkable, these words, let not your heart be troubled. You say, why are they remarkable? Well, consider this. Consider this man who spoke them. Consider what evening he spoke these words on. This is the evening in which he was to be betrayed. This is the evening where he had brought in that beautiful ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. This is that evening in which John writes, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father. And this is it. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Beautiful, isn't it? You see the love of Christ. Having loved his own. That's what made him come to this wretched earth. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace. Let not your heart be troubled, my poor disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm to venture forth to Calvary. Friends, this evening, with your sin, and you see no way out, you see your helplessness. Friends, you're not hopeless, you're helpless. You're brought to be helpless. You're supposed to be helpless. You must be helpless. No help in self I find, yet long I've sought it well. You must be brought to be helpless. You must see that you can't buy these things. You must see that you can't do anything to merit it. Those in that gift that the Father gave to his Son, they're not there because they were better. They're not there because their lives would be easier to redeem from hell, because they'd carry less sin with them, because it would cost the Lord and Saviour less to bring them to glory. The cost didn't come into it. The cost did not come into it, friends. They're there for free and sovereign grace. They're there, and we can only say this, they're there because he would. Because he could. We know not why. You know, it's sovereign. It's sovereign grace. It's the sovereign love of God. But it's free grace. You can't buy it. They're not there because they were going to buy it, because they were going to live a good life. They're not there because they were going to attend chapel all their lives, because they weren't going to swear and blaspheme. You know, friends, if Satan's telling you you're too vile, if he's saying you can't be one of the Lord's, you don't spend too long looking at yourself, friends. I mean, you know, we have to look at ourselves. The Lord makes us look at ourselves. The Lord shows us a little of ourselves. But Lord, don't ponder too long on yourself. You know, there's no hope in self. It's all in Christ. You have to look. Look to Jesus. Look to Calvary. Come with me to Calvary. You know, we read in Matthew's Gospel this beautiful word. And they led the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to Calvary. We read this. And sitting down, they watched him there. You know, a veil is drawn over Gethsemane. And we're permitted to know a little of that in the judgment hall. And this is the thoughts that the Lord had toward his dear people. When he took that gift from his Father, these thoughts of peace, he saw those wretches in that gift, and he saw how vile they were, and he saw me ruined in the fall, yet he loved me notwithstanding all, despite myself, despite all the sin I was to bring with me. It's a mystery. I can't tell you why he did. I can't see any reason why he should. But he did. And it's why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me? You know, we're like, by nature, we're like those that are prophesied of in Isaiah 53. We esteem him stricken and afflicted. We would not have this man to reign over us by nature, and we see no beauty in him that we would desire him. We don't see the need of a saviour. But friends, let's consider this love that brings these thoughts of peace towards such vile sinners, that gift that are found, those people that are found in that gift. You know, they're some of the filthy, vilest creatures ever to live. What a mercy. Do you not see the preciousness of that blood of Christ? There's no limit to its power. There's no limit to its cleansing ability. It's power. There's power there, friends. You know, there's nothing. There's none of those dear people in that gift that are beyond. It's to the uttermost. It's for uttermost sinners. And so we go to that judgment hall. You know, friends, when we consider him, this Lord and Saviour, with such love to his people, that not only did he condescend to come to this wretched earth and to live such a wretched life in such humble and humiliating way, but friends, he did it without one wrong thought, no jealousy, no wrong thoughts, and we see him going, having given this beautiful account, given this beautiful words for comfort to his dear disciples, and then we read in the 16th chapter that prayer that he offers up to his dear Father for his dear people, his disciples and all of his dear people. And he's washed their feet at that Lord's Supper. And he's washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. Do you see this humble man? He washes the feet of him who's to betray him. What love. What love. And we see, he says, let not your heart be troubled. And he's led to that judgment hall. And there he suffers humiliation. And let us not forget he's the Son of God. He's the incarnate Son of God. And there they strip him. And there they put a purple robe on him. And there they plait a crown of thorns, representing the sin of this world. The thorns, the briars, cursing the Garden of Eden, are made into a crown and put on his head. And a reed is put in his hand. And they smite him with it. And all the while, he's fulfilling that beautiful passage in Isaiah 55. As a sheep before their shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You know, friends, let us consider this, his dear Father. This is thoughts of peace and not of evil. His dear Father's watching from heaven. He's seeing his only begotten Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And they're not hearing him. What are they doing? They're putting a cloak, a veil on his face. And they're smiting him. And they're saying, prophesy, whom smitest thou? And all the while his Father's looking down. And it's thoughts of peace. It must be. It has to be. That gift has to be brought to heaven. And his own Son has to be offered as a sin offering. And his, all the while his Son is there, opening not his mouth. He's not biting his lip. He's not cursing inwardly like we would. They spit in his face. He spit in the face of the Son of God. You know, friends, I speak very solemnly here. We too have done this. We too have done this. Our sins have done this. When we go to Calvary, we read in that hymn, the soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. We pierce him through and through. We backslide. We plead his holy name again. We plead forgiveness. And we're laying more bruises on him in that judgment hall. We're smiting him. You know, friends, it's solemn. But all the while, his Father's looking down in love. And you know, friends, what they did to his dear Son, it's nothing in comparison to what was done in the days of Noah. You know what the Lord's thoughts were in the days of Noah. They weren't mocking the Son of God. They weren't spitting in his face. And yet he drowned the whole world and saved eight. He drowned the whole world. And yet here we have this great love of God the Father, the love of the Son and the Holy Spirit, in that his hand is stayed. Then we read this. This is the bit I can't get past, friends. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Can you understand? It pleased him. It pleased him to bruise his own Son. Why? To make a wretch his treasure? To make a sinner who deserves nothing have everything? To make a sinner who deserves death to have life? It pleased him. What love. What love. How could it please the Lord? How could it please the Father to bruise his own Son? When he looks at my poor returns, my wretchedness, my lack of faith even, my unbelief, my unthankfulness. Ah, friends, it will take an eternity to praise him, won't it? When we see heaven at last, what a mercy if we each see heaven at last. But to see heaven and what he left, and then to remember what he endured, to see heaven adored by countless numbers, exalted higher than ever anyone could exalt anyone. And yet he stooped so low and took so much punishment and pain and suffering. For what? For undeserving, guilty. We're not guilty here. We're all guilty, and we don't deserve to escape our punishment. But blessed be God, there is a way made. There is a way made. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and it pleases him to give to those seeking souls his Son as a sin offering. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That's what you're doing and what I'm doing. We're taking his soul as our sin offering. And we're going to plead it on that judgment day. And we're going to plead, aren't we, that he died for us. And that's what we've done in our seeking here below. Seeking to know that our sins are forgiven. We're seeking to know our sins are washed away in that precious blood of the Lamb. We're making his dear Son our offering for sin. Our offering for sin. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. I know them, friends. I spared not my only begotten Son. How can you say, friend? What does Christ think of me? You know, we're troubled, aren't we? Oh, we're troubled. What does the Lord think of me? What thoughts does he have toward me? Oh, friend, if you've been brought to plead his precious name, if he's made known that you're a sinner, if he's shown you that there's an eternity and by nature you're not right, and if he's revealed a precious Christ, well, you know what his thoughts are. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. You know, friends, whom the Lord hardens, he hardens. You know, the Lord's people can harden, we can harden our own hearts in our actions, in our letting the world come in, and it, by taking too much notice of the world, and by not spending enough time in prayer and in reading, we can harden our own hearts. But the Lord can soften. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The Lord can soften. But friends, you know, if the Lord hardens your, if he hardens a man's heart, why, there's no hope, is there? You know, he hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hardens the heart of Esau. And Esau he hated. And there are those in this world in which we live that if I said to you, you know, if you talk to them about heaven, well, the idea of spending eternity praising God is not heaven to them. It's not. They have no desire to be there. They don't want to be in hell, but they have no desire to be in heaven either. Do you know that's solemn, isn't it? That's solemn. They have no desire. They have no thoughts toward the Lord. They have no thoughts toward his word. They have no any evidence whatsoever. They may even sit in the chapel, and they may have read the word of God, but it means nothing to them. It passes them by. May we be spared from that. But, you know, friends, those of you who have a little of a thought toward the Lord, you know, you haven't got it there. You haven't worked it up. If you've worked it up, it won't last. But friends, you know, we have by nature no right thoughts. You wouldn't want to hear the word of God. You wouldn't want to open the word of God and read it. You wouldn't want to hear any preaching. You wouldn't want to sing any hymns. You wouldn't have any love towards the Lord's people. You wouldn't have a hope in this man we're speaking of. You wouldn't have a desire that the Lord would have any thoughts toward you at all. It wouldn't bother you at all. By nature, friends, what a mercy if you have a thought, a thought heavenwards, a little hope, a little springing up, a little murmur in your heart when the word of God is read, a little glimmer in your heart when you read, "Let not your heart be troubled," a little softening in your heart when you hear of Calvary. You know, sitting down, they watched them there. There's no veil drawn over Calvary, friends. How wonderful! How wonderful that we can, in the busy scenes of our lives, in our turmoils and in our troubles and in our conflicts and in our temptations, we can adjourn by faith to Calvary, and we can sit down there. You know, there's peace at Calvary. Not to the world, but for the Lord's people, there's peace. You know, they see that dear man being led to Calvary. And they see him hanging on yonder tree. And they know, cursed is every man that hangeth upon the tree. And they see that dear man there. They see him by faith. And they know in their hearts. You know, they're like Peter. There's that mix of You want to stop it? You know, Peter, he smote the ear of the servant, didn't he? He smote it off. And are you there, friend, saying, Peter, stop. Peter, stop. Put the sword up. He must go to Calvary. It's my only hope. And yet, what love there is when you're there. And you see that dear man hanging. And you see that precious blood dropping to the ground. And you hear the cries and the groanings and the agonies. And it's Father, forgive them. You know, it's a solemn scene. But it's a scene of love and mercy. And it's a scene of thoughts of peace toward these wretched creatures that are in that gift. It must happen. And that sinner's led by faith, and he sees his dear Saviour hanging on that tree. You know, we want to take him down, don't we? You know, we have that love of Christ. He's that dear man. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's a beloved firstborn. The only begotten of the Father. We want to take him down. We want to stop it, but oh, we can't. For his death is my life. His sorrow is my joy. And how can this be? How can I have such wonderful joy in heaven for eternity and yet see such suffering in my place? And why? Did he do anything wrong? You know, those dying thieves, one on the right, one on the left, they were so vile a creature that their fellow man, wicked men, thought they weren't worthy to live. And that's what they thought of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'd done nothing wrong. And they said, away with him. Let his blood be on us and on our children. You know, and watching him there, and passing by there, and in that city there, outside the walls was our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But in that city, there were some there who couldn't even be bothered to go to Calvary. And yet, their names were written there. You know, he saves to the uttermost. John Bunyan says, he calls them Jerusalem sinners. And they're the ones, you know, the Father looking down, he sees his only begotten Son. What would he do to Jerusalem? Once these things accomplished, he's given his Son, and they've treated him so shamefully, and now they've crucified him, the most agonizing and humiliating death. What is to become of Jerusalem and those people? Surely, you say, it would be wiped off the face of the map, wouldn't it? No. It's thoughts of peace and not of evil. It's preach the commandment given to his apostles, his disciples. Preach repentance and remission of sins, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning with those vilest sinners. Because some of them, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 of them were to be brought into a saving knowledge of him. 3,000 of them whose names were written, whose faces were there. And we say with that dear dying thief, Lord, remember me. When we visit Calvary, you know, don't stay away, friends. Don't stay away from Calvary. Go there by faith. Ask the Lord. Pray that he'll take you to Calvary. And there, look at him whom they've pierced. And say to him, Lord, remember me? Do you remember my face? In that garden, when thou wast bowed underneath that wrath, underneath the punishment The eternal punishment due to thy people was laid on thee in that garden. Do you remember me? There was my name in your thoughts, there. Oh, was my face there? Did my face appear in your view, in your thoughts, when hanging on that tree? It must, if I'm to be found in heaven. It must. You must have thoughts of peace and not of evil if I'm to be found in heaven. What a mercy, friends, that it's free and sovereign grace. You know, you can't merit it and you can't earn it. And if you think your prayers, if Satan's telling you your prayers won't be heard, your seeking's in vain, you don't deserve it, you've been such a sinner. You've prayed in the past for providential things, but that was providential things. This is more serious. This is your soul. He won't hear your prayer on this. You've not prayed to him for a year, 2 years. Not really. You may have done a your duty prayer, but you've not been on your knees. He's not going to hear your prayer. You know, friend, he will. He will. He must. He's promised to. He's all that seek me. Seek me in a way that's nothing will do. It's give me Christ or else I die. That's a seeking soul that will be a finder. His all, it must be, it's Lord. Yet there is room. Let there be room, Lord. I know I'm not a good man or good woman. I know I'm not a good boy or girl. Let there be room for me. May this word tonight be for me. Speak this word into my soul, that I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or as the margin says, end and expectation. An end, not expected as you thought in hell, not as your sins are expecting, not as the law of Moses expects, but as a sinner brought to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his gospel, which is for sinners. The expectation is heaven at last. You know, Paul had that expectation. He had that expectation. And so do we, by faith. In greater or less measure. We want to know it more, don't we? We want to have that more in our hearts. That assurance that we are right, that we are ready, that there is a place for us in heaven. We want to know it. We must know it, surely, friends, before we leave this earth, that we can stand before an almighty God and say, yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I'm guilty to all of that sins. Yet I plead the name and the precious blood of my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that I have a hope, that he's given me that hope, that I am one of his. I'm one of his. He's brought me into a sweet place where I've been on my knees and I've called unto him in the day of trouble, and he's heard my prayer. He's heard it. You can't deny it. The love will flow. You will walk in his commandments. You can't hold back. You can't. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You can't hold back. Embarrassment. It is shame. What shame? Walking through the waters of baptism. What shame is there? You know, it's not shameful. It's... Oh, let this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. You know, that's what we want. We want him to step forward and say, he's mine. Father, he's mine. I've brought him. I've plucked him as a brand from the burning. You'll say with the hymn writer, you'll say, my Jesus has done all things well. He plucked me as a brand from hell. I should have been there. A fuel in the fire. I should have been there.
that I deserve to be there. I should have been there. Yet he plucks me as a brand from the burning for his honour and glory. And oh, may we give him the glory and follow in his commandments. For these are his thoughts toward us. You know, friends, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £715, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ramsbottom next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace, what glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. And do take us each home in peace and safety. Be with us in the unknown way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.